Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Steve.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Welcome to our meeting this morning. We're the preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation, or institution. Does not engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, we have members of our fellowship on this morning and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off this morning, Janet, do you want to share?
Thanks. My name's Janet. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Janet.
And yeah, it's wonderful to be here and thanks for the opportunity. So my story is obviously my own story. I grew up in rural New Zealand. I had a great upbringing. Alcohol was not a part of my life. As far as I'm aware, there's no alcoholism and addiction in my family apart from myself. Very strongly connected to the community and had a great upbringing. I didn't drink and I didn't not drink. It was just not an issue. And that was my story basically right from my childhood through to when I was 35. I was a social drinker. I could take it, I could leave it. It wasn't an issue for me. I had a successful career. I had a family. I had friends. I had a great life. Then when I turned 35, the one glass of wine I might have occasionally became a daily glass of wine. The daily glass of wine turned into daily bottles of wine. And at the end of my drinking, I had become a daily blackout drunk. Still functioning, still had a good job, still had a family, still had friends. But for some reason, and I couldn't work out why, I just couldn't not drink on a daily basis. And when I look back now, I didn't recognise it at the time, but when I look back now, I think I always had a bit of restlessness, irritability and discontent in my life. I put it down to ambition. I thought that I was ambitious and I was never satisfied with what I had. I always wanted something different, always wanted something more. Could never be satisfied with what I had. I was always looking for the next thing. And like I said at the time, I thought it was ambition. Now I can see it as alcoholism waiting for the alcohol to happen. I stopped drinking when I was 48. I didn't seek out Alcoholics Anonymous. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous through a treatment centre. And I went to the treatment centre to learn how to drink normally again. I thought everything in my life was fine, and I couldn't understand why I was miserable, and I couldn't understand why I was drinking to blackout every night. And I just thought if somebody could just give me the answer to why or how I could not drink every day, then everything else would sort itself out. I was so, so lonely. I had lots of people around me, but I just felt that loneliness that only a fellow alcoholic can probably understand, that despair and that feeling that there's just no hope, that every day is just going to be the same as the day before, a day where I don't want to drink, but I end up drunk. I end up in blackout, and I couldn't see a way out. So that treatment centre introduced me into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I didn't embrace it with open arms initially. I really didn't think I was an alcoholic. I didn't drink, but I didn't embrace the program. And as a result, all I was really a drunk that wasn't drinking. And that's not a pleasant thing to be. And I won't go into what happened because it's probably not relevant, but after 6 months of being pretty miserable, not drinking, so feeling better physically and starting to regain, you know, some perspective on life, but still, you know, really, really miserable, something happened and I decided that maybe I should embrace Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened for me is that up till that time, I'd been living in the problem. So all I could see were problems, despair, issues, challenges. Other people were the problem. I always had a problem, and I'd worry that problem. And if I didn't have a problem, I'd find a problem. So I was just living in problems. And after 6 months of not drinking, I actually switched my thinking and started living in the solution. I started to believe that there was a solution. I wasn't quite sure what the solution meant, but for me, as long as I kept it simple and didn't try to analyse it too much, it was actually reasonably easy after that. Easy is not the right word. It was tolerable after that, until it got better than tolerable, and things did keep getting better and better. So what I do every day, and what I've done right from the start, and I've got a few days up now, is that every day I do whatever I can today to not have a drink today. So I don't worry about tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know that today I'll do everything that I can to stay away from that first drink. That was all I did at the start. Now I also do more than that. I actually look to do the next right thing every day. I do meditate and I pray, and I have a higher power in my life. I don't have a belief in a God of religion, but I do have a strong belief that there's a higher power in my life, and I connect to that higher power every day, and I have a very strong connection to it. And it's actually hard to describe how that works, but I know that every day my job is not to take the first drink and to do the next right thing. And if I'm not sure what that next right thing is, then I just pause. I don't rush into things like I used to. I don't have drama and chaos around me. Everything's just a little bit more peaceful. And that's not my doing, because when I'm involved, there's drama, there's chaos, there's fights, there's arguments. And so I'm really happy to have that opportunity on a daily basis to have that connection with my higher power. So I would recommend this program to anybody. It is about not drinking, but it's also about living life. I aspired, after 6 months of being quite miserable, not drinking, I decided that I wanted to live life on life's terms. And I wanted life to be more than just not drinking. I wanted to have a life where there were opportunities, that I had aspirations, that I could coexist peacefully with the people around me. And I find that in the rooms of AA and with the 12 steps. I have a sponsor. A sponsor isn't my best friend. It's somebody that I can talk to who also has a sponsor themselves. So it's one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, and that's the simplicity and the joy of the program, really. So my higher power speaks to me through other people, and so it's important for my sobriety and for my serenity that I stay connected to other alcoholics. I do service in AA, speaking on the radio this morning as part of that service, and I feel quite privileged to be able to do that service. I have a home group. A home group is a place where I feel at home. Obviously, it's called a home group. That's a bit corny, but a home group gives me accountability. It's a meeting that I will go to every week. I do service positions there, make sure the meeting gets opened. And if anybody wants to come to AA, I want there to be an AA for them to come to. And I hold myself and other alcoholics around me responsible for that, because without other people being there when I came into the room some years ago, I would never have got this great life that I've got now. I'd still be a daily drunk, either drinking or not drinking, but I wouldn't enjoy the life that I've got today. And I think that if people come into AA, I always want AA to be there for them. So thanks for the opportunity, and I wish you all well.
Thanks, Janet.
Thanks, Janet.
You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share this morning is Dave. Do you want to share?
Hello, family. I'm Dave, an alcoholic.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Dave.
I'm grateful that I'm alive and sober today, and grateful to be restored to sanity where alcohol is concerned. Got to worry about today. I'm comfortable being me, and today I'm comfortable living with my imperfections, of which there are numerous, and I'm grateful too for the opportunity to talk today. I came to Alcoholics Anonymous as a result of the consequences of the actions that I took after putting that first drink in my system, and for most of my life, consequences didn't mean diddly squat. I would generally be able to defend, justify, rationalise and explain my way out of any situation, and I always had someone or something to blame. But eventually the consequences became more severe and closer together, and I found myself in a residential rehab in 2014, but that's not the end of my drinking story. My upbringing was above average. I spent a lot of time travelling with my family through Southeast Asia and Asia, and going back to the States to visit family, and coming to New Zealand to visit family. So there was never any permanence in my life. We were always moving around. And we came to New Zealand and finally put down some roots. And my father's alcoholism really took off. He went from a high official job to pouring ice cream and working security, and there was just this grump who was doing shift work who was living at our house, and so I looked for opportunities to get out of the house. I spent a lot of time in my head thinking about what I should have done in this situation, and what I should have said, and how I should have reacted, and what I was going to say next time if it happened, and how it was all going to play out. Or I was fantasizing about the future. I never spent a lot of time in the moment, except for when I immersed myself in books, and I just escaped from the world that I was in through books, and I read a lot of books. And when I, in my first and second year of college, I started hanging around with some people who seemed to have fun, and so I started hanging around with them because it got me out of the house, and alcohol was involved, and for the first time I felt like I was in the moment and I was enjoying life. And very early on, because we were young, there was always a finite amount of alcohol, and for some reason I had this notion that the whole idea of drinking was to get a buzz, and if you wanted to get a buzz, you had to drink quickly. So I drank right from the very beginning as though it was going to run out. And when we moved to stronger alcohol, I kept drinking the same way, and was introduced to blackouts. And I was the guy who was the life of the party, fun, and then the lights would go out and I'd still be able to function for a while, and then I'd come to in the morning with wet pants and lost keys and no money and no wallet, and it was really embarrassing. So I didn't have this notion that I should stop drinking. I had this notion that I needed to modify my drinking and try and put contingencies in place and to try and control what was going on, so I could continue to drink. And this just kept on. Chemicals came into my life. That's a part of my story, but I walked away from those. So, but they helped to a degree to control the effects of the alcohol, and enabled me to drink for longer and harder. And eventually it got to a point where, and this is a few decades later, I just didn't want to stop partying, and my life revolved around doing what I needed to do on a daily basis in order to have the funds to get the alcohol. And I was a really diligent worker. I had some good jobs, long-term jobs. I had good places to live and everything like that. But it was all around being able to party and drink alcohol. And I mentioned the consequences got worse, and I found myself in a rehab. It was a residential rehab as a result of my drinking, and it all made sense to me. I felt comfortable, and it was nice to know what was going on with me because I didn't have a clue. But very quickly, I had this notion that I'd be the first person to go through rehab to be able to control my drinking. I was in rehab for the wrong reasons. It was for the sake of my job, so my boss could be proud of me, for the sake of my family, so they would stop worrying about me, for the sake of my physical health, because I could see myself deteriorating. And it wasn't because I wanted to be in there. And so I went back out. I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous in that rehab, and like I say, I felt comfortable. And I continued going to meetings after I went to the rehab, but I continued picking up the alcohol right where I left off, and my life got even worse. I knew what was wrong with me. I knew I wasn't alone, but I couldn't not drink. I couldn't not put the alcohol in my system, no matter how badly I didn't want to do it. And I felt miserable. I felt uncomfortable. I'd go through little dry periods of not drinking, and I felt worse because I ended up back inside my head, and my head was just going and going and going, and I couldn't make it stop. But I kept going to a ton of meetings, and people would ask me, "How are you, Dave?" And I wouldn't reply how I was really feeling. I was just, "Oh, I've been to 3 meetings this week," and that didn't it didn't explain what was really going on. I couldn't be honest with myself or with anyone else. And the consequences caught up again and were even more severe this time, and I found myself back in the same rehab that I'd walked out of 6.5 months prior, but with a different outlook. I didn't want to keep feeling the way I'd been feeling. I knew alcohol was a part of it, but I didn't know that the solution was to stop drinking. I felt so uncomfortable and so miserable, and I just wanted it all to stop. So I was offered a place back in the rehab on the proviso that I become an active participant in a program of recovery. And they also told me that I needed to stay for 6 months. And at this stage, there were a bunch of men and women who were in my life who stuck by me, even though I was telling them crap, and they continued trying to help me, and they all remembered my name, and I saw that they carried themselves differently, and I wanted what they had, so I just started doing everything that they did. And it involves, as has previously been shared, a home group that gave me an alternative reason to go to a meeting. It made me a part of the group. And it involved getting a sponsor who had a sponsor, and this is someone who has been through it all before me and has made all the mistakes, so hopefully I don't have to make the same ones, and to guide me. And it involved completing the 12 steps, and it involved going out and doing service, which is helping others without expecting anything back from it, which was all new to me because I was just a taker. And my sponsor at the time was really big on service, and I followed him everywhere, and I found that spending time with other alcoholics and trying to help, it got me out of my head, and it got me back into the real world, and it made me a part of the real world again. And my life started changing immediately that I became involved in the work. I started doing all 3 sides of the triangle, the AA triangle simultaneously, which involved meetings, the steps and recovery, and doing a ton of service. It was just all about, I just wanted, what next? What else can I do? What else can I do? And as a result of that, I'm employable. I'm an honest and trusted employee today. I have the ability to stay in a relationship today. I have the keys to my mother's house and my sister's house. I'm an active participant in the community, and I have lifelong friends today, and that's all as a result of the 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. And yeah, if you're alcoholic, like myself, this is the only solution that has made any sort of impact in my life, and my life has just changed considerably, and I'm so grateful to this program. So thanks for this opportunity.
Thanks, Dave. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. The next person to share this morning is Tracy. Do you want to share?
Thanks, Steve. Hi, I'm Tracy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Tracy.
I'm grateful to be here and to share my experience, strength and hope with you all. So I was born to an alcoholic, and well, the other speakers have shared their stories. Mine was quite different. I started drinking probably around the age of 10 or 11, and it got progressively worse in a very short period of time, so much so by the time that I started high school, I was probably drinking daily and taking alcohol with me to school. My life, you know, on the outside looked completely normal. I lived in a quite a middle-class area. Parents did well for themselves and were slowly making waves. It was a period that children were left to their own devices and I could do as I pleased. I didn't come home to parents that were there emotionally or physically, as they both worked shift work and worked really hard, which I certainly, what I've come to understand about this disease and how it manifests in me, you know, started things like being resentful towards them and not appreciating what I had in my life. while they did the best for me as far as giving me a safe home to live in and a roof over my head and food to eat, I was irritable, restless and discontent and could not maintain the relationship with them, so much so that by the time I was 15 I had dropped out of school and had moved in with a partner and started a drug use for the next 6 to 7 years, where it got to a point where I was depressed and suicidal, but I couldn't look at the problems within myself. I only looked to the exterior and people around me and thought that, you know, if I changed friends, if I changed jobs, if I changed cities, then things would improve. And I tried all that, but inside I was slowly dying. Now, I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous through a friend who had supported me, probably my last friend because most people had given up on me. I came into the rooms of AA at the age of 43. And, you know, I wasn't particularly grateful and I wasn't happy about being here. And it got slowly worse on an emotional level, so much so that by the first year of my recovery, I was wanting to leave and go back out drinking again because I didn't have a God of my understanding and I didn't have a sponsor, as I had sacked her a couple of months beforehand. Yeah, I was quite insane and unwilling to do what was on offer in the rooms. I was lucky enough to have one person that had befriended me when I came in, and he contacted me and convinced me that I needed what was on offer in AA. And so I came back to the rooms and searched out a woman to sponsor me through another woman, and it was suggested to me that she was probably the best option. Unfortunately, she chose to stop attending AA and did not want to sponsor anymore. So luckily the kindness of her sponsor meant that she offered to take me on. And it took a number of years for me to come around to the ideas that were suggested and offered. And as much as I fought them, you know, I have this inability to trust, which was something that I never imagined would ever be possible, because people had hurt me for so long over the years of my drug and alcohol use. But that has changed over the years, and with the help of the people in the rooms of AA and even people outside of AA who live along, you know, with Christian values and spiritual guidance, I've come round to the idea that there is a God of my understanding in my life, and it wants me, whatever that presence is, to live a good, happy, joyous and free life. And I never knew it would be possible. I had doubted for so long that, you know, my life was different from everyone else and that I was something special. But I know today that I'm, you know, a normal run-of-the-mill drunk that needs a God in her life. And it's changed my world. I, like the other speakers, I do service and I have a home group which I attend every week and have taken on a service role just in the last couple of years. And it has changed. Every time I surrender to what's on offer in AA, it changes and I become far more willing on a day-by-day basis. And I can only do it on a day-by-day basis. I have to keep everything in the day. Even today, you know, I was running late and normally I would text someone, but for some reason I rung and it was a short conversation and it alleviated any anxiety, and I knew that God would get me here on time. So I'm grateful, really grateful. And to the people that have been willing enough to continue to even converse with me at meetings and ask me how I am. You know, I was never asked that when I was drinking. In fact, I was never invited back to most of the places that I went when I was drinking, because I was a binge drinker who would drink to blackout, you know, and I would cause myself so much shame. Today I'm proud. I'm proud of who I am and what I've become. I went through many jobs and occasionally I still do change jobs, but I know that that's because God's working in my life, and the employers that employ me are people who trust that I will turn up for, you know, for the job on a day-by-day basis, and I do. I'm trustworthy. I pay my bills. You know, I keep things in order, something I was never, ever capable of doing when I was drinking. But that's my life, and if you are struggling, you know, seek out help in the rooms of AA. You know, it has changed my world and it could change yours, but we have to be willing. So thank you for asking me to share.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area, or you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.